Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey guys, it's Kayla. I'm so happy you're able to join us today because we are all still so directionally challenged. We thought we'd have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s, but surprise, we don't, and that is okay. Today we have an A-plus human on our podcast. She truly needs no introduction, but for those of you who do want an introduction, we have the lovely Danielle Campbell. She is an actress, an activist, just an overall good human. Most of you know her from CW's hottest show, The Originals, and Tell Me a Story, and so much more. She has so much wisdom to share, and we have so much to discuss. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Danielle Campbell. And I am here with Danielle Campbell. We've been chatting forever. We had to finally start the episode. I just love you so much, and I'm so grateful that you're here. You know, there is so much to discuss, and it's funny, like,
yeah,
I've always been just a huge fan of your work, but also of you as an individual and a person, and that's why I'm so excited to have you on this show. But first, we have to congratulate you because there's a huge life thing that just happened, and you are now engaged, and I'm so excited for
you. I am. Thank you so much.
It's all the emotions, all the things.
It's been a fun time. I have to say, it's been really, really, I've been really grateful to have something so wonderful to celebrate during what was just kind of like another year of just unexpected craziness with the strike, you know, coming right after the pandemic. And it's just like, it's kind of like we've had a lot of unexpected years in the past. And so I think getting to celebrate something during that was actually just another, and like a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But from my perspective, you handled the pandemic so beautifully because you did something that I highly admire. You shadowed a chef. And, you know, they say that cooking is really creative. And I think that That's such a fascinating way to explore creativity in a time when it feels really stunted. Can you talk to us about this decision for a minute and how it changed you? And don't worry, everyone listening, we're going to get into all the acting stuff and her movie out now and all the good things. But for a moment, because you brought up the pandemic, I would love to hear, you know, how that experience has changed you, what you've learned from it, and what your favorite dish to whip up is.
You know, so it's interesting. I think cooking is definitely the thing that I shared with you, because I forget how we got in the conversation about it, but cooking is something I've grown up with since, mm-hmm. I think something all of us grew up with, food, right? But my mom is one of the most unbelievable chefs. I know that a lot of people will say that about their mom, but like my mom, what I love and admire about her is she would always, like growing up, we've lived a lot of different places. We lived in Asia for a couple of years. We lived all over the US. She would always like seek out cooking classes and wanting to use the spices that are unique to different cultures. And we would have different cuisines, different nights. Like she really kind of exposed us to that in an early age. And I've just always loved it. I think like we would look forward to getting our homework done so that we could help cook. It wasn't like a chore. It didn't feel like that growing up for me. So during the pandemic, just finding different, I had taken a cooking class with this wonderful Moroccan chef, Yasmina, and she just is like, was also just the warmest, positive woman. And I would just cook with her a little bit. Like we would go to the farmer's market. And then there was like a period of time where she was like, I need more of this. Like you grab it on the way over here. And so like, it was just so much fun to get to do that. And she's from Morocco. So I got a different experience just watching the way that she cooks things. And it was just, it always would feel like when I would cook with my mom, just at home, music's on, wines out. It was just really special. And so that was one of the things that I really enjoyed. And also I think just during a time where there was so much happening that was out of our control, having something that just like felt good and cozy and just easy was just kind of a way just to relax a little bit when it felt stressful.
Yeah, absolutely. Does Colin have a favorite dish that you cook? Is there one where you're like, oh, he's having a hard week, I'll do this one? Because lucky him to have you.
So my mom didn't like handling fish when growing up. So that was like the one thing in the house that she wouldn't cook. And so when I moved out, that was the first thing that I wanted to learn how to do. I was like, I'm going to be able to do something that mom doesn't know how to do. We cook a lot of fish at the house, and I love going to like our farmer's market, and I know where it's sourced from. It's like so much fun for me. Colin loves a salmon. I do this amazing tahini cauliflower that tastes kind of like cheesy cauliflower. Love that. What else? I mean, I think grilling in the summer is one of my favorite things to do. We don't have the best grill, so like I look forward to moving at some point and being able to invest in a nice piece. You're gonna laugh. We just got an air fryer.
Oh, I keep hearing about this. We don't have one yet.
Yeah, he's just obsessed and just has really wanted one forever. And neither of us really know how to work it, so we've burnt most things. So, I think with cooking, I'm so used to not following instructions. Baking, like I'm a lost cause. I can do chocolate chip cookies really well, and that's about it. But yeah, with this air fryer, where I think I need to take time and actually learn how to do it properly because it's not working yet.
That image, just the visual of the two of you in the kitchen, like trying to figure out this air fryer is hilarious. I love it. It's so cool. You know, you and Colin are both actors, and Tanner and I are both actors as well. And that's a really wonderful thing because your partner understands how you're feeling at any given moment, because this life path we've chosen is such a roller coaster ride emotionally and mentally. And so, but it's also, you know, there's a level of intimacy required in our job that not a lot of other jobs require. And so
totally.
It's definitely a conversation that Tanner and I have to have on the daily. We just constantly are talking about it, you know, what that's like. How do you guys handle it, and what works for you in that regard? Asking because truly, like, I think that's probably one of the most difficult things. I think there's a lot of pluses to being married to an actor, but then there's also a lot of it's just a really crazy level of intimacy and trust required.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of couples who say, I never want to date another actor. And I get it. Like, we do talk about acting pretty much nonstop. And I can imagine, I mean, I find it refreshing to get to talk to friends who are not in the industry, and we talk about other things. But I think I really love the creative talks that I get to have with him. And, you know, I think there's a reason also that like so many of us have stayed close as friends, and we do like to talk about acting. Like, we're still the creative nerds who like to talk about what we do. And I think that's honestly what's really special about getting to be an actor, at least to me. Like, I love what I do. I would hope I don't have to do anything else. You know, it's, I think being with another actor, it has its challenges. I mean, as much as it has so much, there's so much intimacy of being able to have those conversations. There's also such a level of independence you need to be able to have. Like, when you're away working on these different jobs, you don't know where you're going to be. And I remember when we first started dating, for example, I was in New York shooting a series, and he was in New Orleans shooting a series. So like every 2 weeks, one of us would try to fly to the other to just see one another in person, because for the first 6 months, we weren't even in the same state, and it wasn't California. So I remember that is, you know, that's a complicated thing that we're both going to need to continue to navigate as a couple. And also, you know, like, I think then the pandemic hit, and that was the most time that we spent together. And it's like that brought on a whole new chapter of kind of getting to figure out, well, like, what are, do we like this still? And we,
yeah,
honestly, like, I think it was the greatest thing to happen, because it fast forward may not be the right term, but like, it felt like
put
it
you on a fast
forwarded. Track. Yeah. And we were forced to have conversations at a quicker rate than we may have prior, because we had all this time together. We'd moved in together. We, you know, like, all this time that we'd previously had so much apart, and we really learned how to navigate that. Mm-hmm. Then it became all this time together, and it was like, well, this is different. But yeah, I think we are really good at cheering one another on, which I think a lot of couples have a complicated relationship with when they're two actors in a relationship together. I think there's definitely moments where, you know, like, if one of us is having like a big moment and the other person is still auditioning, and it's like, how do you navigate that? And the only way that I think we've been able to figure it out is continuing to communicate to each other when we're having a hard time, and really just like encouraging the other person, because at the end of the day, we're not in competition with each other. We're never going to be. We're never going to be going for the same parts. There is no competition with one another. And I think it's easy to compare yourself, but it's like the easiest thing to do in those situations for us, I think, has been just kind of like recognizing where we're at, talking about it, and not being afraid to like show how we're feeling, mm-hmm. and allow the other person to show up and be there with them while they're feeling that way.
So well said. And it's interesting you guys have a 2-week rule, because that's actually somewhat what Tanner and I found, is we did 3 weeks once and we realized that's too long. It's just too long to spend away from someone. So we realized 2 weeks is our rule.
And sometimes you don't have the ability, like 2 weeks, I think, is like when it feels good, right? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you don't have the option. Like, maybe you'll have something with the kids and Tanner will have to stay with them longer because you'll mm-hmm. be away working. You can't get away from your schedule. Like, during the pandemic, I was doing a play in New York and you're performing every night, so you can't leave. And then with COVID restrictions, he was shooting something in Budapest on the other side of the world, and he couldn't leave. So we did like a month and a half without seeing each other. And that's really hard.
What's the communication like there? Because truly, not only are you just in different parts of the world, the time change and the odd hours you work as an actor as well. How, I mean, were there days that went by that you just didn't, you maybe texted, but you weren't able to actually hop on the phone? Because that's really hard to 100%. Maintain a relationship. Wow.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where, like, I'm so grateful for technology. It's like this love-hate relationship that I know that we all have. But what's so special about having, you know, the ability to, you could send a picture of like what you're doing and who you're hanging out with, or like a quick little video of like, hey, I was performing and missed you while, and you're now sleeping, but I want you to wake up and know that I'm thinking of you and I'm missing you. It's like, we have the ability to do that. And, you know, 100 years ago, nobody got to do that. People would wait weeks for letters. And like, I'm such a romantic, where I'm just like, people would write letters and they would wait for them from their loved one and hope that it would be coming, you know, a month from then. That's like that's what we're capable of as humans. We're capable of so much. And I don't know, I'm grateful that we're able to work off of a phone, because it's a game changer.
I think it's saved a lot of relationships. You know, a lot of people, there's an argument to be had about the, you know, downfall of technology and how it's changing us as humans. And yes, there are certain aspects of that that are true, but I think it can save a lot of relationships too. And I think a lot of people's love and communication is amplified.
100%. 100%. It can be. There's like, you have more access to more people, and you could argue there's more temptation because you're not seeing as you're seeing hundreds of people now, but it's all choices that we're making, mistakes we're making, learning from. It's like, that's life, man.
I love it.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
And we're back.
Okay, you brought up Trouble in Mind, and I cannot wait to talk to you about it. This is a Tony-nominated revival that you started. We have lots of listeners that are interested in acting and the vigor it takes to succeed, and plays on and off Broadway are a form of media that we have yet to discuss. So can you talk to us about the process? What made you want to do a play? How was the audition process? And what happened that was completely unexpected throughout the whole experience?
Oh my God, the whole thing was unexpected. For everybody listening, I'm so excited to get to share this with you because you've probably found most of us like watching TV. And I know Kayla and I met through like the TVD universe. And so I started acting when I was 10. I'm going to just give you the whole like
I love
from
it.
The beginning.
Please.
I started acting when I was 10. I fell into it and started acting from Chicago, came out to LA, was really lucky and fell in love with acting really early on. Never did even a school play before because I was lucky enough to continue to work and that would require me to move around a lot and go film. That being said, I love theater. I've always loved going to see plays. However, I think from a young age, I knew TV was something that I was able to do. I kept booking. I was told that like to be in theater is like what the real actors do. You know, that was like a thing that I bought into in my head at an early age. It's not true. They're such different muscles and there is room for everyone in both. What I think I got an audition for Trouble in Mind on tape to submit and sent it in. I studied the play. I fall in love with it. Childress's writing is just so beautiful. A Raisin in the Sun became the first play on Broadway, but Alice Childress's plays were first, Trouble in Mind was first submitted to be the first Black play on Broadway. She refused it because they wanted to make alterations to her play in order to make it what they were calling suitable for the white actors to be performing. And it basically disrupted and totally would have ruined the play and everything she was trying to share. The play is about a Black woman's experience as a woman, as an actor in the 1950s theater scene. And it doesn't shy away from how difficult it was. And it doesn't shy away from how really just disgusting it was of how they were treated. I think it was really brave of Alice during that time to be able to share something and be so strong, and her voice was just so powerful. And so to get to perform her words in a Broadway play now was just like, it was beyond a dream come true because it wasn't one that I even could have imagined. And getting to perform live was like the most insane experience. I was so nervous. Like, I love being an actor. I love performing in front of so many people when you're doing it in front of a camera, but you're so locked in with just whoever is in the scene with you that you forget about it. You're very aware that there is a full audience watching when you're performing, but it's still a matter of just locking in on the people that are there with you on that stage. Those are your rocks, your grounding cords. I just had the most amazing experience, and it felt, I think what it was so special about it to me was also a moment to get to recognize, like, I saw myself as a real actor for the first time, I think, because I was able to prove to myself I was capable of it. And so it just like, it felt really motivating for me. The way that you listen when you're up on a stage is different when you're listening to your other castmates. Like, you're listening for their words and your reactions feel bigger, but also real because your full body is performing. I love it. I understand the high that comes from it. And I just had my first day back on set on last Friday on a show called The Rookie for the sixth season, and getting to be in front of a camera again was really like, I felt so awkward, but I also felt so excited because it was the first time I got to do that in so long. And they're such different muscles, but they go so well together.
That's such a great set. I did multiple episodes of The Rookie too recently, and they had me back even though I was pregnant. And I just felt like that specific set with the individuals from top to bottom was one of my favorite experiences. And I'm so happy that you get to start with them. They're the best. That's the best.
Me too.
So, okay. What was the audition process like for Trouble in Mind? You said you made it on tape. And then did you have to fly to New York and meet them in person? And then, What was the nightly performance experience? Do you feel like it changed, or do you get into the routine of doing the play and then it ends up being the same all the time? What's the experience as an actor to be? I've never done it before and I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah. You know, so auditioning for this play, I think it was probably a very unique experience because it was still COVID, right? So we were still taping things. I actually think COVID may have worked in my favor to where they were seeing more people through tapes than they maybe had before. I'm not sure, but I remember sending my tape in. I had fallen in love with the play itself. I got a call from like my managers saying that the director wanted to meet me, and I started bawling in the car. I was in the car, and I remember I started crying because I was like, it felt like it just felt amazing to have been responded to on a tape on a beautiful play. It was something I just wasn't expecting. And that was just on getting like essentially a callback. And I met with the director over Zoom. He couldn't have been warmer. We had like an hour and a half conversation about the play, about theater, and he's remarkable. Charles Randolph Wright was our director, and he is one of the biggest advocates for Alice Childress and all of her plays. And it was as big of a dream as possible for him to get to put this play on Broadway. So getting to talk with him about it.
Just Alice Childress, she wrote The Powers That Be. Did they want to change just the lead character from black to white? Were they changing the dialogue? What was that experience like in the day?
Yeah, it wasn't changing they wanted to basically make the white characters more appealing. So they like more kind and like less awful, essentially. That there's a lot of moments, I think, in the play. The director of the play is a white director, and he's cruel. His words are so demeaning. And like, I think she was trying to paint a real experience for what it was to be an actor, black woman in the 1950s in theater. And like she was trying to paint an actual picture of what her experiences were. I think a lot of it could have also been drawn from her experiences. And, you know, it's not like everyone was kind to one another, and there was a lot of stepping on toes. I'm putting everything very blandly too. If you were to read this, like the play is so powerful, and all of her plays are very much like that. They wanted to make the white characters less, and she was like, mm-hmm. No, I want to actually paint a picture of how I feel I've been treated, and mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reality of what any black person during this time is facing.
So then, did they not put the play on Broadway because she refused?
She refused to make any changes to her play. She was like, the reason that this is such a powerful play is because it's real in its experience, and she didn't want to alter it. And so the way it was put on Broadway, exactly how she wanted it performed. That's what I think what was really special about it. And now you see there's so many beautiful plays being put out right now that I think have the most unbelievable messages in them. And I think like art's just erupting right now, and as it should. I mean, we've had now a pandemic, and we've had the strikes. I think people are ready to just showcase what it is to live, and also just all these different things that have been in their head for so long. Everyone's allowing a space to do that.
I love that.
Hopefully.
That's so beautiful.
I hope it continues, at least.
Yes, why not? Well, speaking of continuing, you have a movie that's out now called Cher, and it's on Apple TV and Prime Video. I saw the preview for it, and I cannot wait. It's on our list, on our television to watch, and I cannot wait. Tell us everything. I think Bradley Whitford's in that movie as well, and he's such a phenomenal actor.
He is.
Did you shoot this during the pandemic?
We did. So there was like a period during the pandemic. I mean, we followed all the COVID protocols. There was, shooting during the pandemic was one of the most fascinating things in the world. It's like everyone's in a mask. I remember I didn't even realize I'd met certain people because as the actor, you're taking off your mask quite a bit, but everyone else is wearing theirs the whole time, and getting to see certain people. I was like, have we met before? And they're like, I'm like, oh, I see you. I understand you more with your, if your hands over your mouth, that's weird. But yeah, it was just like a very strange experience. What was also really cool about this movie, it's very much like a futuristic kind of twist on also weirdly what we all experienced during the pandemic, which was everyone was just viewing each other through a screen. I kind of think of it as like a Black Mirror episode. It's kind of like a thriller, a twist on reality. This was the first movie apparently to ever be shot from one camera, from one direction, in a single, one camera, one direction, in a single room.
Wow.
For the entire film. And you're basically, the audience is the computer, is the one watching the actor in their various different rooms. But it was really cool to film.
Well, the cost it took to do that movie. That's incredible. Wow. Well, I can't wait to watch you in it. I really am. And, you know, I know that a lot of our listeners would be kicking me if I didn't ask you about the originals, because you and I both met through the Vampire Diaries universe, which has impacted our lives so significantly. You know.
Yeah.
What was your most exciting part playing Davina Claire? What was the most difficult part? I know you were quite young when you booked it, and I think that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure in general. At such a young age, I think that that can be just a significant weight on the shoulders, and you handled it so beautifully.
Oh, thanks. You know, I was so excited to book that role for so many reasons. And one of the biggest reasons, like, it was the first time, I think, I'm curious how old you guys were when you started on Vampire Diaries, but I was 18 when we booked the pilot and started shooting. So it was like the first time I was out of high school. I just moved out, essentially. So when all of my friends went to college, I went straight to set. Atlanta was kind of like my college years. And I think how old were you when you guys were on Vampire?
I was 23. So just a little bit older.
Most of my cast, all of you girls were so close though. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
I mean, I've heard through random nights, like, I've heard all the trouble that y'all got into.
It was so fun. And listen, it was all harmless trouble, really. But, you know, it's all the trouble you get in when you're 20. Nina was 21. Candace was 23. I was 24. And Zach and Trevino were 25. And then I think Nina and Paul were just a little bit older. And Kat was quite young as well. So it was all, you know, a span of a certain age when people are still finding themselves and figuring out who they really are. And to do that within such a spotlight of the public eye and on such a big platform was amazing and fascinating and interesting, but also a lot of pressure. I know I felt that at 23, going through the crazy tornado that it took me through of emotions and all the things. So,
well, and you can't expect the success that the show was going to have and the eyes that were going to land on the show because of that too, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot.
I'm happy that you guys were all in the same, like, around the same age, because that, going through that, like, you had people with you during it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Was everyone else a little bit older for you?
Yeah, everyone was quite a bit older. And I think, like, certain people were flying home to their families on the weekends. And so I think I felt a little... I think, like, I looked up to my castmates so much, but I know that everyone was older. It's like when everyone was going to go out for a drink after, like, a cast dinner, I kind of, like, went back home. That was, I think, the harder part of it, because, like, my college experience was getting to going out with, like, my castmates, but then also I didn't have that, like, the after as much. And, you know, like, certain moments I was able to hang out with everyone, but then there were others where I couldn't, and that was okay. This is something that's, I think, interesting. And I think it's something that I'm still growing through. But, like, when I was in high school, I remember I was so shy because I was so terrified of screwing up or doing something bad that would risk all the things that I'd worked so hard on. And so I was so overly conscious of people's eyes on me from being in high school. I never wanted to be the girl at the party who messed up or who not messed up, but like, who got sick and drank too much. Like, I would always drive. I overly compensated, I think, to make sure that I was not doing anything wrong, because I didn't want to lose the opportunities that I was so excited to have and, like, the career, the acting career that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
And when I graduated from high school and I'm going to film on the show, it's like, this is now my first opportunity as an adult. I don't have mom and dad. They're also making sure that, you know, getting to bed. So, like, I think I became that adult who was trying to also just watch out for myself too, but definitely went and had fun. I got to know the crew really, really well. I got to meet a lot of people my age, which was great. But there were definitely a lot of moments where it's like, I also didn't want to, like, get anyone that I was working with in trouble. So I wasn't trying to broadcast that to them.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, there were different moments where it's like, it was like a little bit, I needed to navigate that, I had to learn how to kind of navigate that. And that was a bit uncomfortable at times, for sure.
Yeah, of course. Did you and Colin meet on set? Because he was in the originals as well, right?
We did. Yeah. He was in a relationship at the time. So nothing, like, we didn't start dating until like just 6 years ago now, but we've been friends for a really long time. And I remember like the first time that he was on set, he and Josh was our friend, Steven Kruger's character, and Colin played Aiden. Josh and Aiden had a scene with Davina. I forget which one we shot first, but anyway, Colin was scribbling in this journal, and it was apparently for, he was at school at USC at the time. So he was doing something for a classwork because he was away shooting and they were able to do it with the program. And so I started making fun of him. Like, what are you writing in your diary? And I'm thinking he's going to like engage and like, he's going to make a joke about it. He didn't actually realize I was totally making fun of him and just proceeded to share with me, like, you know, different things from the different days and the way that they were shooting. And, and I just started like cracking up, and all of our scenes together, we had so much fun. He was also like the closest person to my age at the time too, that was back for mm-hmm. so many episodes. So like, that was really, really nice just to know someone around my age that would not talk to me like I was the little one on the set. So that right. felt like really, really nice too. And I think I've appreciated him as a friend for so many years because of that too. And whenever I was out in LA, his sister had come to visit on set. She was like one of my best friends. Like, I was on her couch when I broke up with one of my boyfriends. Like, she's oh, like, my. I would stay with her. So I was in like, I was in their circle for a long time, and we have a lot of mutual friends. So it was kind of like just right timing, I think.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back.
How cool to have such a strong friendship, both with him and his family, before it even developed into a romantic relationship. That's such a testament how connected you are.
I mean, I definitely had like a crush on him for sure, but
of course, how could
nothing,
you not?
Nothing ever happened.
That's amazing. So do you have an all-time favorite scene that you've shot, not necessarily as Davina, but as any of your characters, just an overall experience as an actor? Because our job thrusts us into these wild experiences. Is there a moment that you found yourself thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this? Like, turning back isn't an option. Here we go.
When I was shooting a show called Tell Me a Story, we were shooting in New York. And you know Paul so well. Paul's been on the show too. I got to do it with Paul, which was a lot of fun. In the first season we were shooting, we had a moment where we shot in Central Park, and I was like, this doesn't happen. And this is my real life right now. This is the coolest thing ever. And that was such a highlight to get to shoot there. and all over New York. New York was a character in the film, so that was really cool. What about you? What was one of your favorites?
Thank you. That's a good question. Yeah, I did a volleyball movie for Sony that with Brian Austin Green, and we played beach volleyball players, and they put us in the middle of an actual AVP volleyball tournament happening in Manhattan Beach and had us play opposite real players. So we had trained for 2.5 weeks on the beach, and it was so thrilling, but also embarrassing. And you know, it's Manhattan Beach, California, the beach volleyball capital of the world. And there are avid fans, and everyone is so angry that we are interrupting the tournament to shoot a movie. People were booing us. It was a horrible experience. And we were waiting on a helicopter to take an aerial shot to start the movie. And then it zooms in on us playing. And so we were waiting for a significant amount of time for this helicopter, but and I'm doing air quotes here as I talk, but also playing volleyball against these professional volleyball players. So that for me was kind of fun and cool, but also mortifying. And I'm local. A lot of my parents and family friends live in Manhattan Beach and happen to be in the audience. And I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. I still don't know. But it was one of those moments where I'm like, what is my life? What is happening? This is crazy. Needless to say, I play beach volleyball very well now. So I could go down to the beach and I'm a killer serve.
Oh man, that is such a cool experience though. And honestly, the fact that you guys had to use a helicopter for one of those aerial shots, it's like,
it was very fun.
That's a cool movie. I need to check it out.
Yes, it was a very fun movie. I was wondering what your take on social media is, because, you know, right before this podcast episode, I'm doing, you know, some obligatory posting and all that kind of stuff. And I say obligatory because there are times when it really feels that way. I have such a love-hate relationship. And as actors, it's such a huge part of our job to post. And it does feel like it's something that we have control over a little bit. Industry where there is no control over anything. Do you have sort of a philosophy about it? Because you seem to have a really wonderful relationship with it from my perspective. And I'm wondering what you, do you have a philosophy about it?
A philosophy about it? No. I feel like I've got, it's like, it's an evolving relationship, which I think it really is for all of us, right? I mean, when Instagram first started, TikTok wasn't a thing. Now TikTok's a massive thing and it's changing how Instagram operates. I also don't feel like, any of the social media platforms feel as authentic as what I think they used to be, mostly because I think the things that people are posting are all things that we're getting, either people are getting paid to share, or it's like for a purpose. It's like for a reason of, which is a great way to get information across. It's a great way to share. That being said, it's like, I remember like MySpace being just about like sharing about whatever your life is at the moment, or Facebook started that way. Like all the things that people really like latch on to, in my opinion, are kind of where people are just enjoying life and just taking a moment of it. I miss that. Like I miss, Colin and I really gotten into the disposable cameras again, because being able to take a picture, not look at it, and maybe it's absolutely terrible. Maybe it turns out black and you're just kind of like, well, there it goes. But I think I just like, I miss moments, and I go back and forth on this all the time, because social media is such a big part of what we do and so much of our job, and we get to share, and then we have this opportunity to communicate with fans, which, like, you know, movie stars that I know you and I looked up to, they didn't have that opportunity or even understand what that experience was. I have so many thoughts on it with no really conclusion as to what I feel I'm doing. Like, I feel like I'm constantly kind of trying to figure it out. How do you feel?
No, because I mean, it makes sense that you don't have a conclusion, because you said it's ever evolving. So there really is no conclusion to it, right? It is constantly changing. And you're right, as new apps and platforms come out, it does tend to feel a bit overwhelming. I also love it because it's really fun. I have so many friends that moved away during the pandemic, and I can keep track of them and their kids and their lives because of it, which is amazing and so fun. And I also get inspiration from it, from a fashion perspective and like music perspective and all of that.
The amount of hacks and things that we've learned from it, like those are incredible.
Right. But it's highly addictive. And I find myself sometimes going onto my phone to do something else And then I find myself just scrolling. And it's hard. So it's a real epidemic, I think, that people are falling prey to. What I don't like about social media are the beauty filters that alter your face. I think that younger women in general, and men too, it is telling us that we're not enough, that we could look like this, that we could. But the truth is, whatever that beauty standard is that it's showing us is A, just someone's opinion of what beauty is, and B, not real. Mm-hmm. No one actually exists and looks like that. It's through a phone and through a screen and through something someone developed. And so as a mother of a daughter, I feel really torn about it, because I think that if you grow up constantly seeing those filters or constantly told you're not enough. And I think it's really important, as you said, that we know that these photos that people are sharing are you know, just glimpses of their life, that no one's showing the moments where they're having a hard time, or some are, but most are not showing the struggle and everything that goes behind and what it took to get there. And so I just think, as long as we maintain an accurate perspective of what it is we're looking at, it's okay to look at it. But I just say this because we have a lot of younger listeners on this podcast, and I just want everyone to remember that they're beautiful however they are, and they're important however they are, and what someone else's beauty standard is really is doesn't mean anything, because there's so much more value about what's inside of you and what you have to give to the world. And
hell
so
yeah, Kayla, everyone just put that on repeat. I mean, that my favorite thing, I mean, I echo 100% everything you said. And honestly, like, I think there's always been beauty standards. Like, if we're just being completely real, if everyone's constantly, I mean, and for years before social media, it was in the magazines, that was what like ideal woman looked like, or, you know, the movie stars that we've seen. But you're right, no one ever sees what happened during the photo shoot, or before the photo shoot, or when they went home, or what's going on constantly behind closed doors. It's like, we never ever are going to know the full story. Some people are, you know, sometimes there's movements on social media right now to sharing what's really happening, or that they have anxiety. And like, there's these beautiful things that people are trying to share. And I think that's what's great about social media. I think people have access to being able to share and connect with other people possibly experiencing something similar that they're going through in a moment. But I think at the end of the day, I think the more that we can, in a weird way, focus on ourselves again and just kind of take a moment to just get back. It's like, we are all living our own experience. That's going to be very difficult to compare it to anyone else's. And I think social media makes it hard to just take a step back and just give yourself a moment, because you're focused on everyone else's. Sometimes I've gone on to like Instagram to look up someone, because I'm trying to recall someone's name, and I get distracted, and then it's like you're scrolling, and it's like, what did I even get on this for? Yep. That happens way too easily. And I think of having possibly a daughter, and it's like, I don't know what the right way is to introduce a kid to social media, because, you know, I think like our generations are still figuring it out and already dealing with the fallout of so many problems it's brought on. And then also, I think that, you know, you can't hide it from them, because then they're going to grow up just not knowing or not understanding anything, and they're going to feel left behind. Right. So, you know, I give you so much credit as a mom to be able to have these conversations. And I can only imagine that you're having them with your daughter as she gets older. But I think the biggest thing that I'm happy about is I feel like our generations are talking more than I know that like even my parents' generation did. And I think talking about these issues and bringing them to the surface versus pushing them down and hiding them, I think is going to be the only thing that really helps us going forward.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And do you have like a specific lesson in life that you've learned? Because I feel like you have experienced so much of life, shooting all over the globe, working all over the globe, living all over the globe. You have had a perspective at your age that not a lot of people your age have. So is there one experience that you would like to share, or a life lesson that you feel really keeps you grounded? Because You are one of the most grounded and beautiful souls I have met. I'm not just saying that because you're on the podcast. I really mean that. And so, you know, asking as I'm raising my daughter, asking as we're both in the same industry, asking just for life in general, what is there sort of a lesson that you have?
If I were to try to answer that beautiful question, I honestly feel like my favorite things that I'm learning is honestly like just the mistakes that I'm making are part of everything that is making me who I am, that it's constantly changing and that I'm capable of constantly changing. Any belief that I had about myself in the past, I'm capable of overcoming and evolving. Even like my clothing, right? Like I don't have to wear the same thing every day. I am capable of dressing up and I'm capable of dressing down. And I think the biggest, like if I think about like my younger self even, I was so concerned and focused on everyone else's opinion. And I think that is still something that I am so overly aware of at all times. I think I'm a very curious person. I'm really good at asking other people about themselves, and I have a hard, I mean, I, today I've been blabbing all about myself, but in reality, in conversation, like I feel like I'm still learning to accept myself, just like I think everyone else is. And so I think like my biggest takeaway from life in this moment, in this like snapshot of a moment for me, is just I'm going to keep making mistakes. They're going to help me learn, and I won't make it again, or I will until I've learned it. Right. I think I'm happy that I'm still learning, and I want to keep being a student and not the teacher.
Yeah. Just self-acceptance throughout all of life. I love that. That's amazing.
Or keep working for it. Cause I think it's hard to do it, you know?
No. Yes. I don't know if you ever actually, or just a universal you ever actually can fully accept yourselves. I mean, if someone has, please reach out, because I would absolutely love to know how you have managed that.
In all moments of your life and every single minute of it, I think it's impossible.
Yeah. I'm just so grateful for you. Thank you for coming on today and joining me and just being honest and real and raw. And I just really love who you are as an individual. And I know our listeners have learned a ton. If they don't already follow you on socials, which I'm sure they do, can you give us your socials and also where they can see you next?
I'm only on Instagram. This is really funny. It's the Danielle Campbell. Whenever I give someone my Instagram handle, I say it's THEDAN. I just spell it because I'm like, I don't want to see the. It's so, anyway, the Danielle Campbell on Instagram. We're kind of still starting season 6 of The Rookie. So that's check amazing. It out.
I can't wait. And also Share is out now on Apple TV and Prime Video. And of course, people are rewatching the originals and all that good stuff. And so many of your projects, Tell Me a Story. I mean, it could go on forever. So thank you for joining us today. I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you so much, Kayla. It was so nice to chat with you.
We didn't get into some of the engagement talk. I wanted to ask her all about wedding planning and all of this stuff, but she has so much wisdom to share. I truly love listening to her discuss her body of work and just her life experience. I think she's fascinating and so lovely. I hope you guys got a little bit of your Vampire Diaries universe fix. Please write in with more questions. We can always have her back on if we didn't answer any of your questions. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Directionally Challenged as much as I did. We have another great one coming for you next week. Until then, take care.
Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions, hosted by me, Kayla Yule, produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions, editing by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.